You've told the Assembly that an outright ban on zero-hour contracts in Northern Ireland could cause chaos in the health and education sectors. Now, these zero-hour contracts, they're controversial casual contracts that allow employers to hire staff with no guarantee of work. It was debated yesterday as part of the Employment Bill. Sinn Féin say they want to ban them, claiming the contracts have a deeply negative impact on workers' rights, protections and employment practices. But the proposed ban was defeated by MLAs at the Assembly yesterday. As you're hearing, Stephen Farry, the Minister, is with us this morning. Patrick Mulholland is from the Union NIPSA. Good morning to you, Patrick.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Good morning to you, Frank Shivers from the Northern Ireland Conservative Organisation. Good morning to you, Frank.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. How will this cause chaos, Minister Farry?
Well, because we have some well-established working practices in key aspects of the public sector. But let me just take a step back, Stephen, and say I do accept that there are major problems with zero-hours contracts. They will work for some people, some employers, where in particular flexibility is important in the workplace. They may appeal to some particular workers who actually themselves value that flexibility.
It's not about appealing to workers.
But for others, it's about
appealing to employers who want their cake and eat it.
But even for others, they will be viewed as being exploitative, and also they will create difficulties in people in terms of regular hours, regular payment, access to benefits, the ability to hold down a mortgage, etc. So there are some very real problems with this. What I wanted to do was to have a proportionate regulation of what is an increase in casualisation within our labour market. So I've fully accepted that point. I've had a paper with the executive since February of 2015, which Sinn Féin have actually been blocking for the past 12 months. They seem determined to actually go for the option of what is the outright ban, which is not realistic, which is not workable. And if it was to be put through, we have this naive notion that every employer will simply just rework every contract to make it a full regular contract. That may happen in some cases, but at the same time, we would see people losing their jobs, and it would actually create major issues for areas where it actually is used quite commonly. And I cited the example of bank nurses in terms of the health service and supply teachers in terms of the education system.
Wonder how many people we have on zero-hour contracts in Northern Ireland.
We've done an extrapolation in terms of the survey work that's been done in England. So we would reckon that we're probably talking in the region of about 28,000 to 30,000 in Northern Ireland. So it is a fairly significant phenomenon, but it does cover a range of different types of situations.
So I'm sure you support them.
No, I don't support them. I believe they are a reality in terms of the modern way that work is evolving, and not just in Northern Ireland, but in other societies. I believe that we need to regulate them, and but to do so in a proportionate way.
But you support them existing?
I recognise that they exist. What I recognise, if we were to go for an outright ban, the consequences of that would be severe. That would be disproportionate. What I want to do, Stephen, I want to put in place a statutory code to regulate them. I want to ban exclusivity clauses, which stops people working for more than one organisation. I want to create a situation where people have the right to ask for a regular contract after a set period of time. Those are all proposals on the table, which if passed in Northern Ireland, would have put us in a much stronger place, for example, in Great Britain, for the Republic of Ireland. But that has been blocked because people have gone for an absolutist approach, which was never going to find favour with the Assembly.
I wonder, Minister Farry, if we should put you lot on them. Why don't we put politicians in zero-hour contracts?
That could be fairly tempting. You could maybe put us on performance or data pay as well. That's another way of looking at it. So, yeah, I mean, we recognise that the...
That's for sure.
Say again, sorry, who's that?
If it was performance-related pay, Stephen, it would save the public a lot of money.
Patrick Mulholland, go ahead.
Thank you, Stephen.
Sorry, that wasn't you. That's Frank Shivers saying that.
No.
Sorry, go ahead, Frank. Go ahead.
I was just saying, Stephen, if the politicians in Stormont were on performance-related pay, it would certainly save the public a lot of money. I mean, here again, we have Sinn Féin trying to wreck the economy. 28,000 people, they want to put on the unemployment list. We have, again, the Alliance sitting on the fence.
Sinn Féin, of course, would say they're trying to defend vulnerable workers.
Look, at the end of the day, it comes down to a choice as well. A lot of these contracts, they certainly do suit small employers. And if we're realistic, in Northern Ireland, 97% of employers are small family-run businesses that need that flexibility to keep going. And that's the reality of it. But people have a clear choice. If they're not happy with zero-hours contract, they can continue to apply for jobs and get a proper contracted job, but it suits a lot of people. It suits people with childcare issues. It suits you know, people who only want to do part time, maybe have elderly relatives that they want to work look after.
Patrick, do you want to hold? Do you agree with this?
No, I think it's absolutely correct what's been said there, with Frank. But I must say, I'm disappointed that the Northern Ireland Assembly didn't take a positive step yesterday and ban these contracts. Can I just make one point that links back to your previous item there, Stephen? When people are talking about women's rights and making sure that women are treated equally in the workplace, they should remember that women are hit disproportionately by zero-hour contracts. It tends to be women in the health service who are hit by them. It tends to be women workers in education, etc., who are hit by them. And it's disgraceful treatment of workers in a modern society.
Sorry, where's your evidence?
What we are really doing... Sorry, Frank, I didn't interrupt you. I know the Tories are used to telling everybody what to do, but they're not going to tell me what to do. What we are really facing here is a throwback to the sorts of terms and conditions of employment that workers faced 50 and 60 years ago in the Belfast docks when people lived miserable lives. The reality is somebody on 0 hours contract cannot expect to get the same terms and conditions of employment, cannot expect the same job security, cannot expect to be able to get a mortgage or even buy a car. They won't be able to develop a proper pension provision over their lifetime of employment. It is disgraceful, and it is one of the outworkings of a failed economy and recession economics. It reflects how badly hit this economy has been by the recession, and we need to take positive steps to deal with this situation. What I would like to see is move away from zero-hour contracts and reintroduce proper contracts. The first place it should happen is in the public services. No Northern Ireland minister should be allowing this to happen in their services.
Okay, go on, Frank.
And they administer.
Well, I mean, once we get, you know, we get this union rhetoric all the time, public service, who pays for it? Who's going to pay for it?
On
0 hours contracts, Pat, sorry. It also gives the people who want to try maybe something different an opportunity to do that.
Well, there's quite a lot of them.
All sorts of, sorry, as you said, I did, you know, and I did be quiet when you said, please don't interrupt me. So, please give me the same courtesy. You know, who's going to pay for these? It certainly, as an employer, as a small employer, it works for me because I take my responsibility as an employer very, very seriously. I don't want to be cutting people's hours. I want full-time people. I want to be giving people what they need. I want to pay them what they need to keep going and get mortgages and do their pensions. I mean, I'm all for that as an employer. But the reality of it is, at certain times of trading, January, February, you know, the catering trade goes down. Now, it gives me the flexibility, and all of my team understand that, and they respect that. I cannot take money out of a business that's not there. So, you know, it does suit a lot of people.
Frank, you can make those arguments, and similar arguments were made around the question of the minimum wage. It was said then, if you up the minimum wage, it'll affect employers, it'll put businesses out of business. The reality is the minimum wage didn't have that effect across the economy. If we move to an end of casualisation of labour, if we put people on decent employment, if we put people on decent wages, etc., across the whole economy, that can only be a positive for the economy. It'll put more money into the hands of the people who buy back the production, what is produced. It'll not have a negative impact. Now, I understand you're caught in a loop. You're probably running a business that's getting by the skin of its teeth, and that's a difficult situation to be in by your own description of it. And I understand that. It puts you up against the wall. But you're trapped
97%
the very economy.
Of businesses are in that position.
You're trapped by the very economy that you support. You're trapped by the very government policies you support. And these policies and the economy that we have at the minute is not providing for ordinary people, and it's not providing for the small businessman either. It's making life very difficult.
Pat, I'm a realist. I'm actually, you know, generating stuff for the economy. What we need, and these 0 hours contract actually stimulate the economy. They allow employers the facility and the flexibility
Frank, how can you say they're stimulating the economy? Zero-hour contracts have come to the fore in the last 5 years due to the recession. They are
In the UK, you're talking about just over 2% of the working population are on zero. It's a very small amount.
It's a massive part of the working population. 2% is a massive part of the working population. And what it reflects, Frank, is this has been a recession not of unemployment, but of underemployment.
Okay.
And that's what 0 hours contracts reflect. But let's deal with the harsh reality. See, for the average person who's on a 0 hours contract, life is a bloody misery.
Okay,
and they're under the whip of bad employers.
We're going to have to leave it there.
A lot better than being on benefits, would you not say?
Frank Shivers, thank you. Patrick, thank you.